Who's someone you wish you could apologize to?
My ex. And I know women will come back and say, girl, you don't need to apologize, but I not being what he needed. But that's okay because I know what I need. And I would apologize to my daughters for not giving them the life that they deserve. But now I think they're stronger, they're wiser, they know how to find their voice, they know how to look at people with compassion. People say there's always a plus in everything you go through. It took a long time to find the pluses, but that's who I would apologize.
Welcome, Third Rock listeners, to the Branding Laboratory. I'm your host, Devo, Chief Experience Officer for the Brand Storyteller and the Fusion Creative Brands. And each week, I have the privilege of speaking with extraordinary leaders and entrepreneurs who are reshaping the way industries work. These conversations go way beyond the surface to explore the core philosophies, the lessons, and the challenges that define the brands that we admire today. And one of the greatest rewards of this podcast is the opportunity to share the insights of some of the brightest minds in business, people who are passionate about pushing boundaries and redefining what's possible. And as I always say, the stories we tell are the brands we build. And this show is a testament to the power of that concept. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Branding Laboratory, where we explore the psychology, the process, and the life lessons behind building great brands and businesses. I'm your host, Devo. Good to be here. It is a Friday afternoon. And I'm excited to have my next guest on because I need a few laughs today. And we are bringing on Kim Coleman. She is the laughing yoga expert. And I didn't even know what that is, but you're gonna learn yourself. I'm not gonna ruin it for you. I'm gonna let Kim explain it to you. But she's somebody I met in the 21st century, best 21st century way possible. I met her on LinkedIn, and shortly after that, she invited me to one of her laughter yoga sessions up on the lake. And that was my first real exposure to her work. And it was fascinating. Let's just put it that way. It's something I had never experienced before. And at first, I was sort of taken aback by it. It was a room full of about, or a yard full of about 30 women. I was the only dude there. Normally, I like those situations. I like those numbers. But in this situation, nobody was there to see me. I was there to see them and Kim and do the yoga with them. And it was really, fascinating is the best word to put it. So throughout the space, this hour and a half that I was there, they went through a series of exercises where you have to put yourselves in these situations where you are forced to laugh, and you can't help but do it because it's sort of like awkward and silly at the same time. But anyway, about my guest, Kim Coleman is a speaker. She is a comedian, a quite prolific one at that. And of course, as I mentioned, the laughter yoga facilitator who helps people find joy and lightness and awkwardness and even peace through the simple and sometimes forgotten. And I can attest to that. I am in a season of no laughing right now. Laughter. So her work is more about healing. It's more about changing perspectives. It's more about putting yourself out there and being vulnerable and showing us that if you do show up as your full, quirky, beautiful self, even when life tries to knock you down, there is always laughter behind that. And it is true. Laughter is the best medicine. So today we're going to go a little bit deep with Kim. I'm sure we're going to have some laughs, maybe some tears. I don't know. We're going to talk about her life before the laughs and the wins and the losses and the lessons and all the things that make Kim, Kim. And as usual, if this show resonates with you, share it with somebody. I appreciate you being here. I know that you have options when it comes to podcasts, and I appreciate you listening to the Branding Laboratory today. So I'm going to bring Kim in here, and we're going to get this show on the road. There she is. Welcome to the Brand of the Laboratory.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I guess taking back to the first time laughter actually sort of became this tool for you. It cracked something open for you. Maybe it was after your divorce. I think I saw in some notes or maybe in a conversation with you. Where were you and what was going through your head?
I didn't realize it until I was in my 30s. I have always laughed. My family used laughter as a coping mechanism when I was growing up, my brother and sister and I. Coping for, my family was divorced and we were growing up with a single mom, and there were different things that were going on that we dealt with that, you know, we would just find ways to joke about it and laugh. My brother and sister and I did. So, and we would even make up stories and go perform them for my mom. And she laughed about it. So that was a good thing. She used to put us up on the coffee table for us to dance like go-go dancers, and we'd all have family dance time, and it was fun.
And it's just there's three of you said siblings.
Three siblings. And my
And
mom.
they're all here in North Carolina.
Yes, they are.
Is this where you grew up?
I grew up in North Carolina. We were born in Florida, but my mom's family's here. My dad's family was here. That's where we grew up.
So you have some different trajectories in your career, it sounds like. I don't know your age, but it doesn't matter. You've done a few things. You work in a different space than you did before. You were a comedian for a while. You've done a bunch of different things. Can you take me through your trajectory as a professional adult?
Sure. So I taught theater for a long time, kindergarten through fifth grade. And at that same time, I was teaching classes at the Children's Theater in Charlotte during the summers. Moved to Kentucky, got into acting, would drive to Nashville to do auditions and things like that, and did some acting commercials and made for TV film and music videos, country music videos.
That's cool. Anything we would recognize in terms of what you've been in?
There was an Anne Margaret movie, and right now I can't remember the name of it. George Michael Montgomery, a country singer. Dude, I'd have to pull up my resume.
Are these roles that you had, or that you were just extras, or you
These.
actually had speaking engagements and things like that?
So you get a different level. You get featured. So in the movie, I was featured. And then in the musical, the music video, I was a main character. But in a music video, you don't always have lines, but you're there for most of the shoot and stuff.
Are you at home in front of an audience?
Yes.
Is that an acquired skill, or is that just something that you're born with?
I don't know. I think it's from being the oldest and wanting always to get attention.
Yeah, but I actually have a friend of mine back in California who he fashions himself as a comedian, and he would always, I don't find him to be very funny personally. I know comedy is subjective. I tell him this, so if he's listening, I love you, but I don't think you're that funny. Anyway,
Oh,
he'd
jeez.
always do these improv shows where he would go down in front of an audience. And I just remember thinking, wow, what a tough gig to be able to have to get up in front of people, have your material down, be able to switch and adjust on the fly if the audience is not feeling it, taking boos, whatever it is, hecklers, whatnot. Because I've been to a lot of comedian shows, and I just think it's got to be one of the toughest professions to sort of be in.
It
And
is, but it's so much fun. So I'll give you an example. My first show that I did was in Houston, Texas. I had auditioned to get on the drama team for Lakewood Church, the one out there with Joel Osteen. And I had always poo-pooed theater because I thought, especially church theater, because I thought, oh, terry robes and towels, but this was a different thing, and we actually did improv. And I managed to get on the team, and the director said, "Hey, do you want to write something for the women's ministry? Because that's how they use the drama team." I said, "Sure, and I'll perform it by myself." So by that time, I had already taught theater. I had worked with all ages 3 to 83. And the neat thing that I always found is if I could get someone laughing with me, then I could connect with them. And if you can connect, you can bring down walls and talk about just about anything you want to talk about.
Yeah, I agree. It is pretty fantastic emotion. I've been thinking about doing some of the improv lately. I actually went down to the couple of different skits of one over here in Ballantyne, another one in Weddington. It just seems like a really cool idea to not only put yourself out there, put yourself in front of an audience, but from confidence to being able to orate properly, to be able to interact with other people, to be adaptive and whatnot. What do you think, in your opinion, as a comedian, what do you think was some of the more tougher aspects of doing that?
When I started doing the improv training, that was before I did the stand up. And I got to do improv at Second City and at Improv Olympic in Chicago. And the toughest thing to do was not to get caught up in your head. Because if you're getting stuck in your head, you're not being spontaneous. And if you're just going out there to make someone laugh, you're missing the moment of the story. So that's what I found to be the toughest. thing when I was studying that. But the improv, geez, I've always used it. I always used it when I taught school. I always used it to get adults to go along with me with what I was teaching teachers. It's really powerful. It's really good if you have a great improv instructor that is bringing some really critical skills to the group. If you're doing improv and you're just constantly going off and going down the inappropriate road and using vulgarity and stuff like that, I don't think that's using your brain.
I'm reminded of the Office skit where Michael joined the. Have you ever watched The Office? And
Yes.
he goes to that improv every night, and they absolutely hate him because he has like the same thing that he just does that's not even part of the scene. Anyway, you said getting stuck in your head is missing the point as a comedian. I find that ironic because your entire point of being up there is to make other people laugh. So what you're simply saying is that instead of you as the comedian focusing on getting people to laugh, you should instead do what? What are you saying?
Everything that I do is based off of an experience I've had, or something I've seen, or something I've read. And if I can get you to look at it from a different perspective and laugh along with me, then we're going to have a great time. And that's how I turn look at it. You don't know what the audience has been through that day. You don't know what they're going to home to that night. So my job there is to get them to come along on this story, if you will, and let's laugh about life and see how similar we are.
It's not so much about getting them to laugh as it's about imbuing a character in your presentation so that it's lighthearted enough that they can laugh along with you.
Yeah, that was really good.
Is that a general sort of rule of thumb for all comedians?
I can't speak for other comedians. I can only speak for what I do. I have some friends that are comedians and they use different tactics. For example, they might not be observational based comedy.
Or that's what you do called
Yes.
observational. And that's a
Yes.
genre of comedy.
Well, I think it is. Yeah. When you hear them talking about a comedian talking about an experience he's had or his family or what he learned from it or how he's flipped the scene and what he's found funny about it. Yeah. That's an observation.
At the end of the day, what we do is not dissimilar. I teach people how to tell their story. I don't necessarily use comedy at it, but I do teach them to sort of understand their origins and where they came from and how that can relate to what they're doing professionally and the people they're trying to sell it to. So it's interesting that you take that. And would you call it observational based comedy?
Sure. That's what I do.
You seem to care a lot for people. I think one of the things I noticed about you in that laughter yoga session is sort of your empathy around just genuinely caring and giving an F about humans. I'm wondering, in this process of caring so deeply for others, has there ever been a time when that actually cost you something?
It did. I think that was a one of the things that played into me going through a divorce, because I had just started. I had been touring for a couple of years, and I was doing all the things that I thought were necessary to enhance my career, plus trying to be a wife, and that takes a lot of balance, and it was a challenge. You know, you're not there on the weekends, but you're calling home, and the kids and my husband were doing fun activities, and I wanted to be there with them, but I was doing this.
Was that one of the darkest seasons of your life thus far?
Oh my gosh, yes.
So when you look back and you reflect on this, and I'm divorced, so I can appreciate this conversation, and everybody has different reasons for it.
Exactly.
But when I reflect back on my divorce, I don't necessarily think it was the darkest season of my life. I think it was the most transformative season of my life because it really forced me to take a look at who I was as a human and how I showed up in the world, and the choices that I made. So when you think about that moment and how that ended up being divorced from somebody you love and your children and all the lives that you were building together, I guess what was the central takeaway from that for you?
Well, it was one of the darkest times. To me, it was the darkest time, because I was blindsided, and I think the and it took and I wanted to come off the road, but I had to finish up obligations. I had to finish up contracts, and it's really hard to go up on stage, and you've got to make you're doing your job and you're bringing the energy, but in your soul, you're dying. Because you know what you're going back to and what your reality is when you walk off. But the takeaway from it was, and it took a long time, it forced me to really work on myself and to figure out what my contribution was in that divorce, even though I didn't initiate it. I believe everybody has a part that they play in it. So for me, it was about learning what my part was and learning my value and learning my boundaries and speaking up and knowing what I wanted to do.
That's an introspective observation, questioning what was your role in it. And I think that was actually the piece for me that led to my transformation is before I was a sort of a blame approach. It was your fault, it was their fault, yada, yada, yada. And it wasn't until I started being a little bit more self-aware and introspective, I was like, dude, you had a role in this just as much as she did. Like, what was your role and what could you have done differently? And I'm going to ask you the same question. I mean, you were in the midst of a professional career. You were required to be on the road. You were doing the thing that you thought was going to bring you the most joy. It ultimately cost you your family in that regard as a marriage. Do you ever look back and be like, wow, I could have done that differently. I should have done that differently. Or this is how I could have done that differently.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. I think about ways I could. I kept a lot in and wasn't good at communicating, even though my job was communication. I wasn't good at the actual one-on-one communicating. And I think if I had been able to do that more effectively and created moments for us as a pair, as a couple, I think it would have been better so that, we could find the respect from each other and grow together and not say that this part of my life is separate from you, but include him in that as well. But I am known for taking on more blame than probably I should. That's just what I do.
Would you say that during that space you were able actually to lean in on your comedic view, or we'll just call it laughter, to help you get through that? Or
Oh
was that
God,
just
no,
no, you weren't? So it's kind of ironic,
no.
isn't it?
Now I
Yeah.
can do it, but then
Now it's
sometimes,
material, right?
then I would have some, gosh, I was not nice sometimes and didn't respond right, and I can remember being in a drugstore and I was reading a magazine and it said, "What would you do if you had your ex right now?" And I had some thoughts going off in my head. And I'm like, I cannot say those out loud, but they were making me laugh inside. But yeah, so yeah, it was a dark time. It took a long time to find out that I could be funny again and to bring that back.
It's funny how we have these moments. We're talking about laughter, but it's funny to me how we have these polarities that exist within our lives, and laughter, sadness, they coexist. And in order to
Yeah.
understand one, you have to have the other, and vice versa. I always find it ironic, but in the end, I guess it does make sense because it led to the shift that sort of puts you on this new trajectory, right?
It did.
I read something the other day, and I'm just curious if you agree with this. The relationships that you're in, they are, I think oftentimes people think, especially romantic relationships, that they're just sort of, all based upon love. But the piece that I was reading was centered around they're more based upon the triggers and how you respond to them, because people who you care about the most cause the most triggers in you, right? And it's because, you're literally basically unpeeling your layers for them to see you at your most raw and intimate capacity. And that includes all your vulnerabilities and flaws. And so sometimes people can accept those flaws, and sometimes people see them and they're not able to accept those flaws. So it's interesting. I'm just curious, do you agree with that statement?
I do. Yeah, you both come to a marriage with different experiences, different ways that you were brought up. And if you haven't dealt with the triggers that you had during those previous experiences, how are you going to deal with the triggers that the other person is bringing? And they might not even know what you experienced when you were 12 or when you were younger. You have to learn, you do, you have to learn how to peel it back together and check how you're responding to each other.
I've noticed you on
Yeah.
LinkedIn since when I first met you. You're sort of showing up differently. What's the reasoning behind that?
I wanted to be supportive of the LinkedIn community, and I have been really fortunate to meet a lot of different people that I am now connected to, and I notice that there are a lot of people that talk about, leadership and growth mindset and being a better employee, just to paraphrase, things of that nature, and I'm going, oh my gosh, this is not me. But then I have started thinking about, I was going, wait a minute, if I've ran businesses, I've been the leader, but if I didn't have humor behind it, how was I effective? And I started thinking, well, you know what? We all need a stress release. We all need to be able to laugh going through our day. We need leaders that can laugh. I think I bring a different perspective.
I'm just waiting for you to start doing some of your bits live on LinkedIn. I don't know why this hasn't happened yet, personally. I mean, I don't know why you're not doing like putting together 15-minute bits where you're rolling up in there live and making people laugh in living color. Like, bring it back.
Well, you know what? That's funny that you said that, because I was posting one the other night and I thought, I'm going to put this, and I had to think about it for a long time because I'm going, I don't think this is professional. This doesn't seem professional, but man, it is so to the
Do it.
point.
Do it.
And I had it posted and then I took it down because I had,
Ah.
wait, you got to hear this. I misspelled a word and I'm like, oh my God, I got to take that. And it's getting ready to come out there. It's coming out.
I want to see Friday Lives where you're putting on bits and doing your thing and getting people in there as guests, whatnot, and just kind of doing your show. And
Yeah, and I'm
I
going
agree with you. LinkedIn is
to.
boring. I'm tired of people talking about the same thing over and over. I try to be completely different as well and just show up as my true, authentic, genuine self.
Right, and
Sometimes,
I
yeah.
like it.
So thank
Yeah.
you. So the whole point of this podcast, by the way, thank you for being here. We're talking to Kim Coleman. She is a comedian, a keynote speaker. What do you actually do besides for speaking and comedy? Is there something else that you're doing?
I teach laughter yoga, and I used, people used to tell me they do yoga, and I said, well, that's great, I do yogurt, and because my understanding of yoga was whew. But I volunteer a lot in the community, and I volunteer with different organizations, and whenever I can, in whatever I'm doing, I find a way to bring humor into it. So those are all the things I'm doing, making in a lot of connections. But if I could get back to the laughter yoga part of it, so there was a time when I didn't feel funny at all, and I just didn't do anything. And my friends were part of my security, and they didn't expect me to be funny. They didn't ask me to be funny. They just let me be, and they made me laugh, which was great. And it was one of my dear friends, and we both know her, and we've been friends for a long time. Miss Hillary Porta, and she introduced me. She goes, you got to come watch this video. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And I came over and she showed me this video of someone doing laughter yoga, and I saw, what is this? I gotta learn more. So I did, and I went and got certified in it, and I loved it because it was things people could do that could just make themselves laugh each day. So I started thinking, all right, how can I incorporate this during everyday life? You want
So
to find
that's how
out
you
how?
got started in laughter yoga.
Yes.
So Hillary was the catalyst for that.
Hillary was the catalyst. She
Well, I'll be
goes,
damned.
come watch this video, Kim. And she's been a big cheerleader all these years because she knew me when I was how we met. I'll tell you how we met. So one of the places I used to go and speak a lot at women's conferences at churches and such, and this was many years ago, our kids were little, and I was the keynote at a women's conference in Huntersville, and she was doing a workshop, and it was called Masks. And I had done my first comedy bit was called Hats. So during this whole day conference, I went and sat in on her workshop, and it was so, I was sitting there going, this is so real. She is absolutely right, because you can get where you're doing all your outside stuff and you're putting on that projection that you want people to see, but inside you can be so many different faces, so many things going on. And we made these masks, and that's how we met, and we found out that we lived in the same neighborhood, and we just became friends after that. And yeah, she was a big encourager for me to get back into comedy and speaking. And she kept going, and if you've met her, you know, she'll, girl, when are you going to do this? When are you going to get back on stage? You know, you need to be back on stage. And so, you know, finally, when she introduced me to that, that's when I started back.
That's great.
So yeah, but that part was exciting. So, that in itself has led me to more doing th more things in the community.
That's awesome.
Like you coming up and doing the workshop and standing to the right. And you know, you said it yourself, you felt uneasy about it. But all it is you got to have a playful, childlike presence within yourself, and then just be willing to do the different exercises we do.
Why was I the only guy there? Why were there only women there? Are dudes just, I never understand why dudes aren't like more vulnerable and transparent about stuff. I never really get it. I do regular yoga as well. And I swear, I just did it a couple of days ago. I was literally, there were 30, 40 women in there. I was literally the only guy. And I'm like, why are there never dudes doing yoga? Anyway, maybe that's a new business model I need to start,
Well,
guy
you know
only
what? I
yoga.
just met another man over the weekend at a group that I'm a part of, and he does yoga and he teaches yoga and his wife teaches yoga, but you know, you're right. You never see many men doing that, right?
I want to marry a yogi. I'm not joking. That's my goal. My next wife is going to be a yogi. In terms of, and not necessarily like a yogi, but somebody who's really into yoga. I just love the whole
Got it.
idea of being in that space, the mentality of it,
Right.
the physicality of it. I just love, and of course, the leggings.
You
Look,
look good
when
in leggings.
I look great in leggings, you should see me. I have athlete's legs. What do you think? I'm a former football player.
There you
In
go.
terms of wins, losses, life, all these things, do you sort of ever measure those things in like biggest moments, greatest moments? Like, for example, what's it, you have children. I'm assuming that's sort of like a key moment in your life. What are
Right.
some of the bigger things when you reflect back? And I don't need a whole laundry list, but when you look at some of the big moments of your life so far that have shaped who you are, we've talked about the divorce, you're a mom. Your daughter has a job. What are some of the things when you look back, you're like, wow, those are like the five, six, seven most impactful things that have really set me up on the trajectory right now?
I never really look at it like that. I look at it as, wow, I have had some really cool opportunities. This was fun. What's next? And I never really think of this was a big moment or that was a big moment when they obviously were, but I just am very grateful for going through life and getting to experience these different things.
Is that your way of answering because you haven't given it any thought?
It could be, yes, sir.
I,
Yeah. Because honestly, I just have to stop and think, oh, that was really cool.
the reason I like that question to ask is because I often reflect on this same situation, and we both know the trajectories that we've lived so far. I think early on we sort of think it's like a straight linear line. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, then it's followed by this, and there's a succession of this, and we're going to go to college, and we're going to get married, we're going to buy a house and white picket fence and 2.5 dogs, blah blah blah. But it never ever goes that way. There's always like this, zigzag, wiggly squigglies, all these sorts of speed bumps. But in that journey, and I was journaling about this the other day, there have been literally pivotal moments where choices were made by me that shaped the infinite number of possibilities that came afterwards. And I don't want to get all existential here, but in every moment, in every decision that we make, yours to get divorced, yours to go back to school, whatever it is, it reshapes something else and changes the trajectory. And so I started thinking about, like, what are some of the most pivotal moments in my life going back, all the way back as far as I could remember? And I came up with like 12 really pivotal moments that I personally think has shaped who I am today because it literally altered the trajectory that I was on. So have you ever thought about that?
Going through divorce was one of those. Realizing I could do stand up was a big pivotal moment. Gosh, right after that, the next pivotal moment was, hey, my director came up and said, hey, I know an agent that would be interested in you. And I never thought about it. I just kind of take things as, oh, this is cool. Let's go do this. Or, and if there's been something that I wanted to do, I just go do it. It doesn't mean I don't put in the work or I don't learn how to do something, but I just make my mind up that I'm going to go do this thing. And it might not be the way somebody else would do it. I've never written a business plan, but I've owned businesses. And I know there have been significant moments. I've never just stopped to think about it. I've just always been very grateful for the opportunities. And how you see me here is how I am every day. So I never change my personality to fit the situation. And I just figure if somebody doesn't like that, then that's okay. Let's keep going. We'll touch somebody someplace else. But I'm just grateful for the opportunities. I don't look at certainly there are ones that have shaped me, but as I've gotten older, I've just learned to accept what makes me me. And if somebody doesn't like it, that's okay. And if there's anything that I need to work on, I'm going to work on it.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. Now you got me thinking. I'm going to go have to make a list.
You should make a list. It's an interesting. I mean, you shouldn't do whatever you want, but
Yeah.
it's an interesting exercise to sort of unpack when you start to kind of go back and then understand these moments and these pivotal moments, and you know, whether it's going to college or getting married or
Yeah.
getting divorced or having children or getting laid off at a job or taking
Exactly.
on a
Yeah,
new
yeah.
job or getting your first car. Like, there's all these little things that stack up to create who we are, and they shape the context of how we show up in the world, right? And so it's always a fun exercise to kind of unpack that and just kind of sort of see. And I talked about this a little bit yesterday on my LinkedIn Live. Thank you for always commenting on my posts. I really
Oh,
appreciate you.
you're welcome. And now I loved it. I liked
Thank
it.
you.
I was like, oh, I never thought of that before. I will share this with you. I think in my life, sometimes you think who's been the most inspirational to you. Two things stand out. My mother was a single mom, raised us, and she was an entrepreneur before that was even a popular word. All right. And being with her and helping her do some of the craziest businesses, and she kept working, gave me the confidence to do that. Because I saw what she did. And if she'd have had the internet, oh my gosh, it would have been a different story.
It's
But
amazing. Is mom still with us?
mom is still with us. I visit her when I'm at work because she's in a facility. And I do visit her when I'm at work during lunch breaks and talk to her during the day. And I have posted on some of my socials some things that mom has said to me. Because my mom was funny, always made us laugh.
You need to bring her on your first LinkedIn Live. If she's the
Yeah.
catalyst for all this,
Listen,
guest.
I have to ask her. I have to ask, Mom, is it okay if I post this? And she'll say yes. And I'll say, Mom, do you want me to post a picture? No.
That's
So
funny.
it depends on how she's feeling that day.
Well, I
Yeah.
would like to do a shout out to your mom and to all single moms out there who have done what you're doing. And it really is the odds are against you, and it's amazing that so many women specifically have been able to successfully navigate that and have positive outcomes. So cheers to all the moms out there who've done this by themselves. In terms of when you're not a comedian, when you're not on the stage, when you're not making people laugh, when you're not doing laughter yoga, who are you behind the scenes, and what would really surprise people to know about you?
I can be reclusive. So if I have felt like I've spent, I will stay home for a weekend and I will either bake or cook because I like to do that, or I will doom scroll. I can get caught up in doing that. I love watching series on TVs, and my daughter and I will get together and we'll do that. I'm a daredevil. So I like to do stuff that probably I went and took motorcycle lessons,
Oh,
right?
wow.
I loved it. I loved it. I wanted to, I was doing great the whole class. It came to the testing part and you had to do a speed stop. So you had to really, get it going. And then you put the brakes on and you're supposed to put your feet down, right? When you stop. Well, I went, and
That's
did
funny.
not put my feet down. But just anything that's a daredevil. I have a friend. This is what we've been friends for years. And she says, Kim, you have friends. You have friends that, if you get thrown in jail, you can call and they'll come get you out. And I said, yep. And she goes, and then you have friends that they're in there with you and they're sitting right beside you and they're saying, let's do that again. It was fun. And she goes, you fall in that ladder thing. So,
I ride. I'll have to take you for a ride one of
do
these
you?
days. Yeah.
Yeah. So I
I
like
got
that.
a big old dog, big old hog. So if your career were to end today, What unfinished business are you still kind of wrestling with that you want to accomplish, whether it's as a comedian, whether it's as a whatever it is, what are some unfinished business you have?
I'm always thinking about making a legacy for my daughters and my siblings, and friends, leaving something on the table that would bring inspiration to them. That's what I think about. The unfinished business, if it was all done today, I think I've had a great time and it's been very joyous. You're blessed with this day, that day, and what you decide to put into it. That's where the victory is. That's how I look at
What's
it.
a belief about you, Kim Coleman, that you've had to kill off in order to get where you are today?
I am not as important as I thought I was.
What's one critical story you've never shared with anybody you'd be willing to share on a podcast about you?
When I was going through divorce after that, I was ready to, I committed myself to a facility.
That's
And
a.
I would never have talked about that before, but what I've learned now is how much power we give other people
Yes.
emotionally and how we think that impacts our lives.
Yes.
And it was an eye-opener.
I'm going to give you an amen on that one. Who's someone you wish you could apologize to?
My ex, I would apologize for not, it's gonna, I know women will come back and say, girl, you don't need to apologize, but I not being what he needed. But that's okay because I know what I need,
Yeah.
and I would apologize to my daughters for not giving them the life that they deserve. But now I think they're stronger, they're wiser, they know how to find their voice, they know how to look at people with compassion. People say there's always a plus in everything you go through. It took a long time to find the pluses, but that's who I would apologize to.
That takes a lot of courage to say those things. What is something you still haven't figured out?
Algebra.
Nobody figures out algebra.
Gosh.
Mine would be geometry. I
Yours
hated
would
geometry. It was primarily because my teacher was a dick. Ed Francis, he's no longer with us. Rest in peace. But he was just a jerk all the time. I never
Oh.
understood. If you're going to be a teacher, I'm sorry, let me just get on a soapbox here for a second and we'll get to your last thing. If you're going to be a teacher, if this is the profession that you have signed up to do, you went to college for it, you know what you're getting yourself into, son. You're going to be sitting for 8 hours in a prison cell with a bunch of screaming bandits. You know what comes with the territory. Why are you going to come and be an asshole all the time? Like, your primary job is to teach me and to mentor me and 32 other people just like me. Like, why do you always have to come at it this way? I never understood this about you. Here's a message to teachers. If you don't like what you're doing, get out of the classroom, go find something else. All right, I'm off my soapbox.
Okay, don't get me on that soapbox because I was a teacher and I could debate with you on it. So,
We can have a conversation. I just never understand it. Again, I'm not excusing irreverent behavior. I think that
No, I know.
kids,
I agreed with
but
that.
at the same time, you know what you're getting yourself into. Like, there's got to be a better way to handle it. Anyway, we could talk about this offline.
Listen.
If you died tomorrow, what would you hope the biggest gift you left to the planet?
Joy.
There's not enough
Yes.
joy in the planet right now.
My friends and I have this conversation a lot. My friend group, it's made up of all women that are divorcees. And most of them are not in relationships right now. And we're so caught up in what's going on in the world around us, which is a good thing to observe and be proactive in. And the discussion has always been, if we keep looking at this part and ignoring this part of our lives, we will not be useful to people. So, in order to be useful, we need to make sure our whole selves are doing great and good in order to go out and give to all the people that are in need during this day and time.
I don't know. There's so much negativity out there right now. There's so many things that are outside of my locus of control anymore. I used to think it's important to sort of have my finger on the pulse of everything, but there's just
You can't.
you just can't. And I've almost
No.
just kind of taken a step back. But that's one of the reasons I've gotten off. I don't really do Instagram much anymore because of that. And while LinkedIn is really boring, at least it's not like totally negative all the time and like just full of woeful me conspiracies and all the bullshit that's happening on the planet. And Instagram has just turned into like this cesspit of negativity and ad space. I'm just like,
Well, who are you
can't it.
following?
I follow all kinds of people. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting.
So that's a choice there.
Well, I don't know if it is or isn't because the algorithm interrupts on a regular basis, but
Yeah, that's true.
it is worth an internal examination. So
Just made it a point. Okay, I can't do some things about, I have no control over certain things, but I can do this. This is how I can contribute. This is what I can do.
Outside of joy, what would be your central message to the planet?
Be kind.
Be kind, be joyful.
Yeah, and that, I know it's simple, but my gosh, I just posted on TikTok this morning, so I have several different things. It takes nothing to be kind. It takes nothing. It takes just being able to give an ear and remind how what we're supposed to do as humans.
Kim, thank you for
Fair.
bringing your honesty today
You're
and your
welcome.
laughter and your depth to the branding laboratory. I really appreciate
You're welcome.
everything you said, and I think a lot of us could use a little more joy in what you're serving up. So thank you.
Yes.
If people want to connect with you, you can find you at Kim Coleman Laughs on Instagram and LinkedIn. Is that correct, Kim? Or is it
On,
K
well,
Coleman?
it's K Coleman Laughs on Instagram and K Coleman Laughs on TikTok. On LinkedIn, it's Kim Coleman. I don't remember all the rest of it that
All right,
goes
well,
with
we'll get it
that.
and put it in the show
Yes,
notes.
and it's on Facebook too, but
Brilliant.
that's the best way to get me and get a
Brilliant.
giggle.
All right, then. I look forward to seeing you again. Thank you for coming on the show today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Devo. I appreciate it.
All right, that was a fantastic show with Kim. Thank you. If you are ready to bring more alignment between who you are and how you show up in your business or your brand, that's what I do. You can head over to my website, thebrandstoryteller.com. We just launched a new website yesterday, so I'm really excited about that. Go check it out. Give me some feedback. If you find any errors or 404s, send me a DM and let me know. Thank you in advance. If you want to be a guest on the Brand Laboratory, or if you know somebody who has a gift or a lesson or a narrative that is worth sharing, we would love to connect with you or they or anybody and all of the above. Drop us a note. You can hit me up on LinkedIn or Instagram or directly from the website. Until next time, man, keep testing the waters, keep refining, keep building a brand and a life that actually feels like you. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. See ya. Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon.